Blog Talk Radio.
Freedom or death, you shall all be moved. Vainglorious. This is protected by the red, the black, and the green with the key. City. Abracadabra. I'll a baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logical, mythological. They couldn't comprehend when I brought the word. A stick called verb, a black steel nerve. Teaching those actors and actresses who write a couple lines on what black is. Really? Then they label me a sin. When a brother just speaks what's within. I guess I'm blacker in the shadow in the darkest alley that they're always scared to go in. Boo. I wear boots and beads, bags and braids, stick and scroll, rings and shades. Walk in the light of the moon, but I've never been a Batman. African, call it black man. Brother, extract the African steps in your movement. Enhance for improvement. Grand funk, a new home for the phrase. Funk and lesson, the pathway.
Ready or not,
cornbread, how can you act this? I exist on a plane where the jar is my brain. I'm living to retrieve cells. Antenna my stick, picture bigger, native liquor, figure. The pull of the trigger goes zoom, not boom. Not a bunch of sissies, but saviors braver. The red, black, and green is just so much more than red, black, and green. You ask what I mean, but yet the sundial shades and lights and dreams. Watch too late, oops, upside your head. You drop through a bit like lead. Where you going? Your pleasure, what you need, trees and branches, roots and seeds, forward, backward, many degrees, questions, answers, what's the sum? We have come. Out of the darkness in panther skin comes doctors, driving pink caddies, bearing the remedy to your existence. Yes, it gets blacker, with a Nat Turner lick. Martin, Adam, Malcolm, Huey, there's a party at the crossroads.
Peace, family. My name is Brother Kasim L. Welcome to another episode on the Ringing Stone Network. Tonight, we have a special guest, another special guest, a sister, named Dr. Oya Ma'at, who, this sister is a very powerful sister, a sister who, I don't know her personally, but she does a lot, and we're going to find that out tonight. You know, indeed. Sister Ma'at, she's a advocate of education, you know, deeply committed to making learning enjoyable for those in area and abroad. She is from Need Martin Scholarship. She's a Need Martin Scholarship recipient, Society of American Military Engineers Scholarship recipient, Distinguished Honorette at Morgan State, eventually receiving a Doctorate of Engineering degree. Dr. Bailey, which is her name as well, has a number of honors, including the Tau Beta Phi Engineering and the Honor Society. While serving in the military, she received her undergraduate degree in electrical engineering. Dr. Bailey, you know, is a native of Baltimore, and she is indeed going to be with us tonight to talk about a few issues concerning the black community, some issues in which she has spoken about, you know, quite freely. She has a show on YouTube, Tea Talk with the Sisters, which I have listened to a few times, which covers quite a bit, you know, about what's going on today. What's going on today as far as anywhere from missing black women to black relationships, the state of the black community in general, dealing with definitely the relationships between black women and black men is one of the things which she very openly speaks about. And we're glad tonight, okay, to have her on the show, you know, with us to, you know, to expound on a few things in which she definitely speaks on with, I guess you can say, with vigor. And she hopefully will join us shortly, you know. I know her number. Let me see if I can get her up here. Let me see. Dr. Oya Ma'at, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm here in the building.
Okay. Peace, sister. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Peace, brother. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Glad to have you on the show tonight with us, you know, because it's a thing where your knowledge and your input is needed in the black community. A lot of sisters, you know, are now speaking up a little bit more about our issues, and you are indeed one of them. And, you know, I definitely respect you highly, you know, indeed. And that's why I wanted you to come on the show, you know, no doubt about that at all.
I appreciate your words, brother, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I hope that I included everything in your bio. If there's anything you want to add on, okay, feel free, okay, to do so. I'm sure this is your first time on the show, so the listening audience, they don't really know, a lot of them anyway, may not, okay, know of you. So I'm going to yield the floor to you to, you know, speak a little bit about yourself and, you know, what you do.
All right, fantastic. Well, my name is Dr. Oya Ma'at. My legal name is Dr. Deanna Bailey. I'm a native of Baltimore, Maryland. And yes, I am a real doctor. And it's kind of sad that we live, you know, in a time where you have to tell people that you are a real doctor. Because, you know, in this community, there are a lot of people who use the title doctor, and they're not really doctors. They don't have the credentials behind it. So, I always had to make it clear, like when I'm giving lectures, you know, that I'm a real doctor, because I've been asked that on numerous occasions. And yes, I am a real doctor. And anyone who comes before you and say that they are a doctor, you know, this is a public thing. Like if you really have a PhD, then you have a dissertation. And if you have a dissertation, then your dissertation is published in a system called ProQuest. So anyone that comes before the community and say, you know, I have a PhD from an accredited university, their dissertation is published and held in the ProQuest corpus. So if you go to ProQuest, www.proquest.com, and type in, you know, Dr. Deanna Bailey, my entire dissertation will pop up. So graduated from Morgan State University in 2003 with a bachelor's in electrical engineering. And in 2013, I came out with a doctorate of engineering. Around 2013, I also founded a company with my family called Ed Anime Productions. And this is a company that creates educational animations for children. And so right now we have a product. Yeah, we have a product. Have you heard of Meltrek, brother?
No. Explain that.
Okay, so we have a so Ed Anime Productions is a black-owned and operated company that I founded with my family members, and we're dedicated to creating educational animation targeting children of color. Currently, we have an animation called Meltrek. So if you go to YouTube and just type in Meltrek, M-E-L-T-R-E-K, the animation will pop up. And we currently have two episodes for sale. The first episode is called Meltrek Exploring Ancient Africa. And the objective of Meltrek Episode 1 is to teach children that our history does not start with the Ma'afa. You know, so we teach children that Africans are the mothers and fathers of civilization, and that we gave science, mathematics, and religion to the world. So that was the objective of Meltrek Episode 1, to teach children about the various African civilizations and culture. We also have Meltrek Episode 2 available, and the name of that is called Exploring the Pre-Columbian Americas. And the objective of Meltrek Episode 2 is to teach children that there was an African presence in the Americas prior to Christopher Columbus. So we teach them about Abu Bakr. We teach them about Alonzo de Ilocos and the 16 shipwrecked Africans who ruled a province of Ecuador right down in South America. So they learn about the African presence in the Americas. So, and currently I teach at Morgan State University as an adjunct professor. So I'm teaching digital communications for the School of Engineering at Morgan State University.
Wow, sis. You know, very proud of you indeed for your efforts and your, especially with the children, because, you know, a lot of people, they kind of sidetrack, you know, teaching the children a little bit these days. Everybody's into themselves a lot, but to focus on the children, you know, that's what's definitely needed. And you're doing with animation, and that's what captivates them, you know, so much. So that's very powerful, you know, indeed. I got to check that out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, you could text me your address, and I'll send you two copies, you know, for your review.
Yeah.
So just text me your address after the show.
So, my granddaughters, I would definitely get that for them, you know, no doubt, because they need that, you know, indeed. So you basically, as far as what you teach, it varies. Do you – I mean, I know that, you know, you just explained what you just did, what you do, in reference to your art and your craft and stuff like that. But, I mean, in far as the black community, do you lecture different places and stuff like that? Or
Oh, yes. I've lectured in California, Atlanta, Baltimore, New York. I'm trying to get down to Louisiana. I'm actually organizing that right now, and I've been invited to speak in Seattle, Washington. So I lecture all over on various topics.
Right.
My main topic really is, you know, I love to study Kemet. I love to study Kemetic science and mathematics. That's really my craft.
Okay.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a historian, so I love to read, you know, African history. And so, you know, I'll talk about different topics. I might talk about African culture and complementarity and things of that nature. Or even just battling, like, pseudoscience. Like, for example, a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, I did a presentation. No, this was last year. I said 6 months ago. Last year I did a presentation posing the question, is the black woman God? Are you familiar with that presentation?
Oh, yes. You know, indeed.
Yes.
You know, it was powerful, too.
Thank you. I hope you and I can get into, you know, a little bit of that tonight. But, yeah, I lecture all over.
Yes.
And the topic varies. Sometimes I'm talking about comedic science and mathematics. Other times I'm talking about duality and complementarity. And sometimes I'm talking about, for example, in Baltimore just last week, I did a lecture on the dirty secrets of the medical industry, where we just talked about how without black people, you know, there wouldn't be any modern medicine or any modern surgical techniques or any sort of, you know, even just a model medical industry. There would be none without black folks. And the impetus behind creating that presentation was the movie that just came out by Oprah Winfrey, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, that aired on HBO on April 29th. And so I've been studying, I've been studying Henrietta Lacks for a few years now. And so, you know, I was ecstatic when I found out that Oprah was, you know, going to do a movie about her life. You know, I read the biography and, you know, several times, and even had my family members read the biography. So we were just ecstatic to hear that Oprah Winfrey elected to do, you know, a movie on the life of Henrietta Lacks. And so that was the impetus behind creating The Dirty Secrets of the Medical Industry. And so, you know, my topics kind of vary. You know, it kind of vary. It might be scientific. It might be, you know, history. It might be, you know, math. It kind of varies. My next presentation, I hope to put together, will be on reprogramming the African mind. You know, I want to do a presentation on that. I also want to do a presentation on what it means to be an African woman. You know, so you know, I got a lot of presentations that are coming up, and you know, I'll probably give you a shout out or a holler once I get it together and let you know where these presentations will be held.
Right. Yeah. You know, so you're quite versatile in reference to what you speak of. Yeah. You know, that's a powerful thing. You know, as well, indeed. Last time we did a show, we elaborated on the men becoming more feminine and women becoming more masculine. And I see you something on that recently, didn't you? I think you did something on that, right?
Yes. So Dr. Wesley Muhammad, absolutely. Dr. Wesley Muhammad came in town, and he did a presentation called Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, Black Manhood and Black Masculinity. And he did that for Reality Speaks here in Baltimore, and I opened up for him. And Dr. Carlos Muhammad said that he said I threw him, he slam dunked the presentation. So I opened up for him, and we were talking about the feminization of I was talking about the feminization of the black man through the culture, through American culture. He started talking about the feminization of the black man through the drugs, through the drug culture. Being imposed on our babies. So Dr. Wesley Muhammad spoke about, you know, the marijuana and Molly and some of these drugs that have, like, chemicals that come from feminine plants. And he was saying that these chemicals are effeminizing the black man. And so, yes. I just finished doing, you know, a presentation on that just recently. And I'm actually looking for it on my laptop so I can kind of get into it a little bit, if that's what you want to talk about tonight.
Yeah, because that right there is something that I found so mind-boggling, how there's so many young men now becoming more feminine. And I was like, wait a minute, hold up, we got to do a show on this. You know, we had a little from Wesley Muhammad, too, because, you know, I know a sister in Greensboro, North Carolina. She told me that half the school of the high school, was gay, and I'm like, half, and that's a lot. That's alarming, right there. And that's not just in Greensboro, North Carolina either. That's in various places throughout America. And Wesley Muhammad, I did listen to the whole lecture, and he went in big time, and he really stuck the nail in it, because of the fact that we are busy just thinking that, you know, they're naturally born this way or they just choose to be that way. But this was an agenda, you know what I'm saying, that was plotted and planned to do a lot of this. And Wesley Muhammad made his case, you know, on that.
And made it clear. Like he made it perfectly,
right.
He made it perfectly clear, you know, of what's going on. So I think not only is it the drugs, but I mean, we can get into the diet. You know what I mean? Like they have, they are effeminizing our boys, like starting in the womb. You know, so when a woman is pregnant, you know, she's eating. Let's say that she's eating chicken and turkey. Well, we have to understand that
right.
they're pumping estrogen in
right.
in chicken and in turkey and different meat.
Right.
So you know, you gotta
right.
be as a woman. You know, when you're carrying, you know, a young boy, you know, you gotta be careful to stay away from foods that they are pumping estrogen into. And I know
right.
that beef has estrogen in it, and even when you're pregnant, doctors tell you to stay away from beef, not only because of the estrogen, but beef is also known to decrease the sperm count in young boys. So it affects the sperm count. Just
okay.
ingesting meat while you're just ingesting beef while a woman is pregnant. So inside the womb, our little boys, they're battling. You know what I mean? Like you're eating foods that are high in estrogen, or you're eating food that will adversely affect their sperm count or their testosterone level.
Right.
You know, and then when they
right.
come out of the womb, now they're ingesting foods that are high in estrogen and foods that will decrease their testosterone level. Any man that I come across, I ask him, do you eat tiger nuts or do you drink tiger nut milk? And a lot of them say, no, I've never heard of tiger nuts or tiger nut milk. In Ghana, I forgot the name of the particular tribe in Ghana, but the men are 70 and 80, and they eat tiger nuts. You know, I mean, they eat a lot of fresh fish, fresh vegetables over in Ghana.
Right.
But they have incorporated tiger nuts and tiger nut milk into their diet. Now, if you Google, you can do this. I mean, this is like a quick Google search. If you Google
right.
tiger nuts or tiger nut milk, you'll see that it's good for increasing the testosterone levels in a man's body. Well, if it increases
okay.
your testosterone levels, it's going to help with sperm count, it's going to help with erections, you know, because you got a lot of
right.
our men who are having problems. They're having, what do you call it, erectile dysfunction? A lot of our men are suffering
right.
from erectile dysfunction because of the diet
right.
and the drugs, you know. So that's why I tell my sons, like, you got to stay away from the alcohol, stay away from the wheat, stay away from the chicken, the turkey, and the beef, because it's decreasing your
right.
testosterone. You know, and then you got
right.
guys, and I mean, don't, you know, forgive me for rambling, but then you look at some of these guys and how they're shaped nowadays. I mean, they have breasts and hips and butt just like women.
Oh, yeah.
It's because of the diet.
Yeah.
It's because of the diet. You know, and
right.
our men are
right.
actually morphing into women, like, right before our eyes. You know, and then not to mention
right.
you have fathers missing from the home. So you got little guys out here who are miniature versions of their mommy or their grandmother or their auntie who's raising him.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just terrible right now. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And then you have, I'm sorry, go ahead, brother, because, you know, I can go.
No, I just wanted to throw something in there real quick in reference to soy. The soy milk was given to a lot of young women, especially back in the 80s and early 90s. A lot of sisters was giving the babies the soy milk, and that's where you get the soy boys from. Now, you know, they're older, and the results of that is showing. I have a nephew that he started growing breasts, okay?
Yep.
I mean, he's not gay or anything
yep.
like that, but he had to go to the doctor. They had to do an operation. And I was like, well, where did that come from? I was talking to my brother. I said, where did that come from? He says, I don't know, man. He said, but I said, look, I said, you got to watch what that kid is eating. He's eating McDonald's and all that kind of stuff. You got to stay out of
mm-hmm.
the TV. Go ahead, sis. I just want to throw that
no,
in.
I'm over here shaking my head. Like, I agree 100% with you. Like, he and your nephew is not the only guy that has experienced that. Actually, a good friend of mine had a son who she was giving him soy, you know, soy products, and he started growing breasts, and he had to go through
yeah.
an operation to get them removed. So
yeah.
that's like something that's becoming, you know, that's something that's becoming prevalent, you know, in our community.
And this,
we had young guys. Mm-hmm.
You know, Wesley Muhammad put out something really powerful when he said an overabundance of estrogen in women creates masculine women. I thought that that was profound, you know, because I never even thought about it like that. But what it is that if I talked to a nurse one time, and she told me, she says, yeah, she says, when a man gets female injections, you know, like they do with the tranny thing and all that, he grows breasts. Mm-hmm. A woman will not. She will not. They have to get implants and all that kind of stuff. So what he was saying, you know, in reference to that, I said, wow, okay, now that I can see how that is, because now you have a lot of women who are kind of masculine, you know. And this
I've seen it.
Yeah, and I was like, where did that come from? Yeah, I'm like, where did that come from? This in your face kind of sister and stuff like that. I'm like, whoa, I wasn't, you know, I'm a little older now, but back in the days, women wasn't like that. So
I've seen some sisters with beards. I'm talking about I've seen women. I'm talking about with mustaches. I've seen women with beards that you would literally have to do a double take, you know, and it was a woman, yeah. So like you said, so what we see, you know, we see the feminization of, you know, black men, and then we see the masculinization of black women, and that's becoming more and more prevalent, and it's also the media.
Yes, also the media, right. Now, what is your preventive? What is the solution, sister? What is the solution to the problem, you think?
Okay, so I was asked that question, and I brought that up when during Dr. Wesley Muhammad's lecture, like right when I was opening for him. Someone asked that question to me, not there, but So let me back up. So I did a presentation called Understanding the Principle of Duality, a Proposed Solution to Healing Black Male and Female Relations. And during that lecture, you know, there were sisters there who asked me, they said, well, you know, Dr. Ma'at, you're talking about, you know, mending male-female relationships. But she said, we would actually want to adjoin ourselves with men that are effeminate. Like she was saying, like, how do you, you know, as a woman, why would you want to adjoin yourself with, you know, a feminine guy? And they were saying that a lot of guys nowadays are very feminine. So they were like, well, how do you deal with that? And I forgot my you know, what my retort was or what my rebuttal was to those females who posed the question. But during the lecture with Dr. Wesley Muhammad, you know, Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, I was saying that in order to fix the problem, we have to be able to identify it, right? So we have to understand what took place or what's going on first. So my remedy would be raising awareness, educating our sisters on what is going on with the black man, and educating our brothers on what is going on with the black woman, understanding one another's plight, one another's, you know, situation and experiences, and then work to heal each other. To me, that would be the remedy. So we got to heal. We have to understand first what's going on, understand the assault on both sexes, understand what's going on with the men, understand what's going on with the women, and then work to heal the situation. But I think that right now we need to do, just as what Dr. Wesley Muhammad is doing, is bringing awareness to this issue, because you and I are dialoguing on the feminization of the black man and the masculinization of the black woman. But a lot of people don't see it as an issue. You know, it's glamorized now. It's on television. Like I was and I watched The Empire on Wednesday to keep up with what's being shown on Fox. And I was watching it last night. And, you know, in the film they had two women kissing. You know, the young guy, Hakeem, he was in a bathtub, and, you know, he said, both of y'all are my babies, and he's like, you know, my girl has a girlfriend. I mean, this stuff is being glamorized. It's being popularized. And so, you know, it's a lot of things that we have to combat. We have to combat diet. You know, we have to get our children on a different diet. We have to monitor, you know, what our children see. You know, it's just a lot. You know, it's just a lot within the home. You know, so it's, you know, you say, well, what's the solution? I mean, goodness gracious, we need to really do a whole cultural reform at this point. You know, you know what I mean? Like, and then you got to, and then you got to think about the school system. Like, when your child is going to school, look at what they're being exposed to. Like, you know, my family, we're getting ready to pull my 7-year-old, hopefully, God, you know, God willing, out of school, you know, fall 2017. You know, we don't want them to return back to the public school system. You know, when your children leave you and they go out here into this community, into this school, you don't know what they're being exposed to. Like you just said earlier, that, you know, at your buddy's school, half the school is gay. You know, can you imagine, you know, sending your son into that environment? So we have to change our environment. We got to change our environment. You know, I was on my show earlier today, Keep Up with the Sisters. I was saying, hell, we need the village back. We need the village back. And I'm talking about we really need to revitalize. We need to revitalize the black community. And what I mean by revitalize the black community, because a lot of people say, oh, we have black communities. No, we don't. We have black neighborhoods. We need to reestablish black communities where we control all of the mechanisms within our community. So we control the spiritual systems. We control the spiritual centers. We control the schools. We control, you know, who's conducting business, the business transactions. We got to get back to the village. I think that's the only solution to this whole problem of effeminization and masculinization, getting back to our culture and becoming African people again. To me, that's the only solution.
Yeah, awareness is the key. I'm asked the question all the time. I did, you know, a number of shows on the network, and, you know, every now and then, you know, people say, well, you know, you're on network, you'll talk about, you know, the problems and stuff like that. Yeah, we talk about problems, but we do talk about solutions as well.
That's
you know,
right.
There's a balance.
That's right.
Because you have to present the problem. You have to. There's no solving, you know, anything unless you identify, like you were saying, identify this is what the problem is. Look, you know what I'm saying? This is what it is. Now we can work on what we can do about it. But step one is knowing what it is.
Yeah.
And this is where we lack in a lot of cases, you know?
Yeah, like you said, identifying the problem, you know, identifying and understanding the problem, and then developing strategies to fight against the problem. But what I've noticed with our people is that they crave solutions, and when you hand them the solutions, you get what I'm saying? When you give them the solutions, do they really go and implement these? Like, for example, you and I are talking about diet right now. How many brothers and sisters are really ready to give up chicken and turkey? Like, I talk to my family members about that a lot. You know, I tell my cousin, I mean, I could call them on the phone right now, and I'm like, look, chicken turkey has estrogen in it, but it doesn't stop them from eating it or from consuming it. You get what I'm saying? So people ask for solutions, but then we got to be willing to implement these solutions as well. You know, so people ask, well, what's the solution? What's the solution? Okay, well, the first solution is diet, controlling your diet, getting rid of foods that are known to contain high doses of estrogen, which would be beef, chicken, and turkey, right? But how many people want to get rid of that? Then you say, well, look, brother, you know, weed or marijuana is effeminizing you. How many guys are ready to give up marijuana? You get what I'm saying, brother? So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, brothers and sisters, they ask for solutions, but, you know, seldomly do they implement the solutions that are brought forth. For example, a lot of parents are saying, well, look, you know, I'm tired of my children learning whitewashed history or learning history from the European perspective. Okay, well, we came up with Meltrek. Meltrek isn't selling. I mean, you get what I'm saying? We sold maybe a couple of thousand DVDs, but, you know, you got 16.9 million African-American households in the U.S. You know, you got 39.9 million black people in the U.S., and we sold a couple of thousand DVDs. So people have to be ready for these solutions and be willing to implement these solutions when it's brought forth.
Right. Absolutely, sis. Absolutely. And, you know, you are a sister that's given an answer, and that is one of the answers. you know what I'm saying, what you're talking about, you know, with the children, because you got to start them off young so they can identify their culture, their history, you know, and all of that. And, you know, it's a thing where you, you know, you present the problems, but yes, I got some solutions too. Here, boom, now what you going to do? You know, that,
right.
That kind of thing. You know?
That's right.
But,
that's right.
Now, let's switch gears a little bit. I want to, maybe you could expound a little bit on the missing girls that's been coming up, or missing black women. That has been something that, you know, in a couple of weeks ago, they had a rash in D.C. Now, was any of those sisters found, or what? They're still missing, as far as you know?
I know.
You have any?
Yeah, as far as I know, a few of them were, you know, that one girl, this story was, you know, on the internet. One girl was found in the house of a police officer in D.C. So you had law enforcement officers in D.C. who were, you know, involved in this whole, you know, kidnapping
wow.
thing. Yeah, so I forgot the girl's name, but I know she was one of the victims down in Washington, D.C. And, I mean, if you give me a sec, I probably could Google her, but I know that one girl was found, and they said that she was found in the home of a police officer down in D.C. Other than that, you got about 41 now, that, you know, 41 or 42 missing black girls in, you know, in Washington, D.C. But, you know, you really have 64,000 black women missing, you know, across the U.S. And you have 1.5 million black men missing across the U.S. So a lot of people were talking about, you know, well, 64,000, you know, women are missing. And I'm like, well, you know, do your research, because 1.5 million black men are missing. So, you know, our men, they're snatching up our boys, you know, they're snatching up our boys actually at a higher rate than the girls, you know, not wow. trying to minimize, you know, not minimizing, you know, what's taking place, you know, with our women and female, you know, children. But, you know, they're actually snatching up our brothers, you know, at a faster rate. And so on the 29th of April, I did a presentation entitled Dirty Secrets of, you know, Dirty Secrets of the Medical Industry. And during that presentation,
right.
I feel like I drove home the point that this is not a new phenomenon. You know, missing black women, missing black men, missing black children, this is nothing new. You know, they've been kidnapping us and using us for experimentation and human trafficking since we stepped foot on the shores of the Americas. And I'm talking about the Mesoamerican, Caribbean, North America, South America. You know, since we've
right,
been,
right.
you know, in this Western Hemisphere, we've always been missing. I mean, you know, since the days of enslavement, we've always been missing. So, you know, when I was looking at my timeline and people were, you know, alarmed that, you know, 64,000 black women missing and 1.5 million black men missing, you know, or black males missing, I wasn't alarmed, because I'm a student of history, and I understand that we're looking at a continuation of behavior. You know,
right.
a lot of people genuinely like to say that, generally like to say that history repeats itself, but, you know, on Facebook, you know, I do a lot of posting on Facebook, you know, I say,
right.
well, is it that history repeats itself, or is it that mentalities are taught and perpetuated, thus we see a continuation of behaviors? So it's not like it ever stopped and then started again, stopped and then started again and repeat. No. What we see is a continuation of the same behavior. So what's going on in 2017 has always gone on. It's always gone on. You know, the human trafficking, sex trafficking, the police brutality, the murder of black men and women. This has always happened. This is nothing new. And that's what I was trying to drive home with my presentation on the dirty secrets of the medical industry. This stuff has always happened. It's not a new phenomenon. They've been doing this for years. So then the million-dollar question is, well, you know, why are these black men, women, and children are missing? And it could be easily argued, you know, for human trafficking, for the purposes of human trafficking. And they've been human
body
trafficking. What do you say, brother?
Yeah. Body parts. body parts.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you got the body parts, you got the, you know, the sex rings, you got the ritualistic thing, you got a hodgepodge of probably different reasons, you know, but it's interesting. Now, I don't know, what is the ratio between the black missing and white missing? Now, I didn't hear those stats.
I never looked. I never looked to see what the stats are. I never looked. You know, I just kind of looked for, you know, us. But that would be interesting to do, like, you know, a comparative analysis on that. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because somebody challenged me on that when we did the show on that day. They only challenged me. They just asked, well, you know, just as many white people missing as black people, why do you think that they're targeting black people? You know, that kind of, you know, rhetoric. And I really didn't have the stats, so it wasn't much I could really say. But what you just said, look, I'm concerned about my own, you know what I'm saying? That kind of deal. We're missing. Go ahead.
Exactly. No, exactly. I never considered that. I never looked at that. You know, that would be interesting. Like, you gave me a homework assignment. So I never looked at that. But, you know, you definitely gave me a homework assignment to see how many missing, you know, how many missing Europeans are there.
Right, because it seemed like a lot of it was brought to light after the movie. You know, the movie, what's that movie? Get Out movie.
Can we have a
last?
Get Out. Okay, Get Out.
No, the Get Out movie. Yeah, and the Get Out movie, you know, and they was just so in your face with it. You know, that's what was, you know, I was like, wow, they just telling you, you know, about, you know, the black gene is stronger, how to, you know, they prefer a black limb or a black heart or something like that over any other. And this should tell us something about ourselves as well, you know, about how, you know, strong of a, powerful of a people we are, you know, as well. But, you know, I think that it was entertainment for many, okay? And, you know, fortunately, a lot of times, you know, we don't look at movies with our third eye. We just look at it for entertainment purposes, and that tends to be a mistake, you know, with us. So I ask you a question. Is your mother a principal? Am I correct?
Yes, she is. And that's my world. Yeah, that's my world. I can get on the line if you want me to. I can get on the line if you want me to. But that is my heart. My mom, she's a native of Baltimore, Maryland, and graduated from Coppin State University. My mother was the reason why I pursued my doctorate, because growing up, you know, in her household, she always stressed education. And not only did she stress education or the importance of education, she showed me that I could do it. You know, like, I remember growing up and seeing her diplomas on the wall from Coppin State University, and then she went on to get her master's degree from Johns Hopkins University. And I remember saying, a personal goal of mine is to surpass you in education. And she's like, you know, I want you to. She said, I absolutely want you to. But in order to do that, I would have to go all the way to get the doctorate. And so that's what I did. And so my mom, you know, she's my foundation. And, she's a school principal. She retired as a school principal. And, I'm just proud of that woman, that goddess.
I bet you are. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you a chip off the block, for real. Stay safe. You know, you got it all from your mom, intelligence, going to school, and all of that. Yeah.
I was just going to say that that showed me the strength of a mother. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the way my mom raised my brother and I, you know, and I talk to a lot of sisters about, you know, a lot of sisters get mad at me when I say that we as sisters have to hold ourselves accountable for the condition of our race. So a lot of sisters get mad at me. Oh, you know, you're taking up for the brothers, and what about the brothers? They've done things too. And I say, yes, the brothers have done things too, and they do have their issues. But we have to point the finger inward And what I do understand is, and I agree 100% with Minister Farrakhan, is that a nation can only rise as high as its woman. That's a fact.
Yes.
Because I saw in my household how the mother is the foundation of the child. You get what I'm saying? That is the foundation.
Right.
I'm not minimizing the father's role in child rearing at all. You know, not at all.
Right.
But what I'm saying
of
is
course.
Me seeing that strong mother, you know, I looked at her and I'm like, okay, I can be that. You know what I mean? Like, I can be that. I can be articulate. I can be educated. I can be, you know, I want to be like that. And girls emulate their mothers. And we have to understand that the woman is the first teacher of the child. You know, and so the message that mother gives to the child, that child will give to the world. So the woman has to be right. So a lot of sisters get upset with me, you know, when I say that we got to hold ourselves accountable for the condition of our race because, you know, we've groomed this race. We've had a hand in grooming this race, our race, to be what it is today. And so, you know, and I understand the power of a woman because I witnessed it with my mother and I witnessed it even with me and my children. You know, my children are part of my company. They are part of Meltrek. My two sons, they're entrepreneurs right now. One of my sons, not only is he working for our company, but he's working for, you know, a black-owned and operated business in Baltimore. And I just see that my influence on them, you know. So going back to, you know, moms, I mean, goodness, you know, I'm telling you, I give all praises to my mother for the woman that I am today. Not to take away anything from that, but, you know, my mom taught me how to be a woman. She taught me how to be a woman, and, you know, all praises, you know.
Right, indeed. What I'm going to do is let me see if I got any callers online. You ready for some questions? If I have anybody right now, I'll give you a break.
Let's rock and roll. Let's rock and roll.
Okay, let me see. Anybody want to call? I mean, anybody want to ask a question? That is 515-605-9354. Let me see. I think I got somebody here. Let me see, Brother Kwame. Let me see if he's Brother Kwame, is that you?
Yes. Greetings, Kasim, and greetings
Brother Kwame. How are you doing?
I'm very grateful, and Dr. Mayotte, my greetings also to you. You know, it's very powerful. It's very powerful in what you were stating about your mom, because the tradition of our proverb says, when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. And so the thing that we have to understand is through the divine feminine. And it's really funny tonight that you're doing this on the Scorpio full moon, and the energy of the feminine is above us. And so we're in alignment, and what we're doing is, like you said, coming back to creating the village. Part of what we always say, it takes a village to raise a child, but we fail to ask the question, what does it take to make a village? It takes those strong mothers. It takes those fathers. It takes those sons and daughters to be able to assimilate. And Dr. Clark used to always say, you can tell the greatness of a nation by three things. Number one is land. Number two is water. Number three is women. And they always used to ask the question, why land? Is that how you sustain yourself? And the earth, that's the base of any economics. Why water? Because water is what you need to sustain your life. And to help to grow the resources of that land. And he said, well, why women? And he says, well, how would you reproduce yourself? And so those are the keys that we have to look at, because the same three things that put us into the Atlantic slave trade are the same three things that are putting us into this prison industrial slave trade that we are still in today. And those three things pertain to, number one is guns. Number two is rum. Rum is alcohol, and rum is a drug. So you can classify drugs with that alcohol. And number three is cloth. and we wear all kind of designers. We're going to wear everybody's stuff that doesn't, you know, isn't made by us. So we're being perpetuated into that same industry, which never ended. And so I commend you in being able to, you know, and having your doctorate in engineering, because that says something to that you know how to construct, not just, you know, the electrical, you know how to construct, multitasking, left brain, right brain, and building a nation. And this is commendable, because that shows the trueness of the African woman within your heart.
I appreciate his words. Kwame is a deep brother.
I wanted to share something with her, and we need solutions, and we came through the emancipation, and we were given civil rights during that time after emancipation, and then they were taken away, and then in 1900 we got it again in 1965 in the Civil Rights Bill. The thing that we look at, if you look at words, and words are power, because words are God. And the thing that you look at a word, and you look at it because it's a reflection, when you put a word, like you put the word evolution, you look at the word evolution, evolution only says, when you put it in a mirror, it says, know it you love. You put civil rights, you take the word civil, and you put it in a mirror, and it says levic. If you look up the word levic, levic means the life path.
Mm-hmm.
We have to discover, we chose to do the civil thing. Now we have to reverse our word and begin to find this new life path that we want for our next seven generations.
Yes. Wow. Yes, indeed. Yeah, thanks for the comments, Kwame. No doubt, indeed. You're doing a sweat loss, right?
Yeah, that's tomorrow night. Yeah,
tomorrow. Okay.
People coming down and they want to do it, so
I
prepared for it, and it's in the full moon, so it's a good time to do it. And to be able to do our, in the word spiritual is the word ritual, and this is a traditional, you know, cultural ritual, because it's not just indigenous of America's. It's all over the planet that different cultures use the Inipe ceremony with the four elements and reconnecting ourselves to our higher selves.
Right. Indeed. Indeed. Okay, my brother. Thank you. As usual.
Thank
indeed.
God.
All right. Peace.
Peace, brother. That brother, Kwame, is a deep, deep brother. He studies.
Brother Kwame, I've known Kwame for about maybe 8 years now, and, you know, we've been, you know, did ceremony together, all kind of stuff. Very, very good brother, you know, doubt whatsoever.
I want to add one more thing, because we talk about solutions. So I mentioned diet, I mentioned solutions, staying away from drugs, diet, controlling the images that our children see, and also getting our children enrolled in rites of passage programs. I keep stressing to parents that manhood training and womanhood training are very, very important. When our children matriculate through the public school system, they're not given manhood training or womanhood training. You know, in African culture, that was a part of growing up, you know, so you were school, you know, you did, you know, they had schools, they had temples, you know, they had this, but they also had manhood training, womanhood training, and our children are missing that. A lot of guys out there, and I was telling my daughter one time, she expressed to me that some of these, you know, males, she's in high school, she said, they just don't know how to talk to girls. And I said, they weren't taught, you know, behavior.
Right, they weren't taught.
And we had, they weren't taught. And so our you know, our babies, we have to send them through rites of passage programs. So I wanted to mention that. So when you mentioned solutions, I mentioned diet. I said, you know, staying away from drugs, controlling the images that our children are exposed to, and also getting our children enrolled in manhood training and womanhood training. So rites of passage programs, they are very, very important. So I just wanted to add
right.
that.
Yeah, that's definitely, add-on that's needed to be said. I remember the Nation of Islam, speaking of the nation, years ago, you know, they would have, MGT, you know, Muslim girl training, you know, and for the men, you know, they would have their program, which I thought was, you know, beyond what the regular school system used to, you know, teach the young. And it taught the men discipline, okay, taught the women discipline in addition to how to cook, how to, you know, speak to their husband, how to do things the proper way. Because what it is now is that there's a lack of etiquette, you know, even with relationships, I find, how be to each other and things of that nature. And that's something that also I want you to expound on that a little. Now that I mentioned that, relationships between men and women, okay, because I know, I don't know if you did anything on that. I think you do have some knowledge of that. Go into that a little bit, and our dilemma as far as black men and women, as far as coming together and respecting each other and loving each other properly, because that's a powerful foundation as well.
Oh, yeah. I was actually talking about that earlier on my show, Tea Talk with the Sisters. We were talking about the title, the topic of today, or the question was, why are there so many black, single black people? And so that was the question. We said, is this by choice or by force? And so we addressed that today. And if anyone's listening, you can go right to YouTube, type in Dr. Oya Ma'at, you know, Tea Talk, or just type in Tea Talk with the Sisters, and the show should pop up. And so what I expressed on the show is that I said we talk about nation building, right? A lot of people are talking about unifying and nation building and collaborative economics. Well, we have to understand that all of these entities are predicated on relationships. You know, like economics, that's based on relationships. Building a nation, that's based on relationships. Unifying, that's based, our ability to unify, that's based on relationships. And the fundamental elements of relationships are male and females. So if male and females don't get along, right, there's no way that we can build strong black families. Well, if we don't build strong black families, we can't build strong black communities, because a community is nothing but a network or interconnected families, a network of families. And if you can't build a community, then you can't build a nation, which would consist of several interconnected communities. So the fundamental elements of nation building, of unifying, of, you know, economic, all of that is predicated on relationships. And so we have to understand as men and women how to deal with each other. And when I say relationships, I'm talking about platonic and also intimate. Because when I talked about healing male-female relationships, a lot of people thought I was talking about, you know, on an intimate level. But I'm talking about even platonic, just you being my brother and you and I being able to kick and talk, you know, and build and produce something,
right.
You know, just
right.
on a platonic level. And so we talked about that today. And so we were trying to brainstorm what the problem is. You know, what is the disconnect between black men and black women? You know, is this a choice, or was this by force? And I would easily say that this was definitely by force. Dr. Amos Wilson said in one of his lectures, and I'm going to quote him, I memorized the quote, he said, you know, when you want to destroy a community, he said, when you want to destroy a community, when you want to destroy your people, he said, you destroy the nature of their romantic love, right? So romantic love is that between a male and a female. So he said, destroy their ability to love one another in a healthy sort of way. He said, when you see and you think about the problems we have as a people and as individuals in loving each other romantically, you must recognize in good part that those problems have been set up by a political social system. The love we have for one another is the greatest threat to the people who rule over us. So I say all that to say that a wedge has been purposely placed between black men and black women. You know, that's the only way they can control us as a people. You got to divide the black men and black women. Yeah, you got to divide the black men and black women. That was the first thing they did. Even when they came over to Africa, the first thing they did was create a wedge between the black man and black woman. I would challenge, not even challenge, but I would recommend everyone to get the book, The Destruction of the Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. In his book on page 255, Chancellor Williams, The Destruction of the Black Civilization. In his book on page 255, he's talking about a Portuguese enslaver came over, and he was just observing the Africans. And what he noticed was that the African woman was extremely loyal to the African man. So I'm going to read this, and I got it in front of me right now, and it says, this is what the Portuguese enslaver said. He said, "It is not true that all women and even children were likewise marched in chains." He said, "This would have been unnecessary anyway, because we had learned that these black women are so loyal to their men that they will follow them even into hell. Capture their men, and you did not have to capture them." So what they noticed when they got over there, they noticed that we had a love for one another and that we were loyal. You know, we were loyal to one another. So in order to weaken the race, they said, "Hold up, let's divide. Let's put a wedge between the man and the woman." And that's exactly, you know, what they did. And they're doing it today. They've doing it since we've been on the shores of America, putting a wedge between black men and black women, you know, using the media. I think the media is just one of the strongest tools, you know, to divide black men and black women. You have the media, you have mass incarceration, you have government programs, you have the promotion of the welfare program.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. In 1965? Was that in 1965 when they said, "Hold up, you can't have the man. You know, we can help you out, but, you know, you can't have this man in the house, you know?"
Yeah, they even promoted it with a movie. Remember the movie Claudine? That movie came out around, I don't know what movie, but I think it came out later than 65. But that movie promoted the black man not being allowed in the house because the woman, you know, was getting the money from, you know, Mr. Welfare. That was the name of the song.
I had to write that down. You said it's a movie called Claudette.
That's right. You're younger than me, so you wasn't familiar with that. But, yeah, ask your mom. No. She remembers Claudette. Yeah.
Claudette.
You know, it was deep.
So
they're deep how they do it. And it's funny, another thing, that they use the same actor. Diane Carroll was her name, right? They also used her not for Claudine, but they also used her to show the independent black woman, too, in a series called Julia. Ask your mom. She remembers that. She was the first black woman on TV that had her own job. She didn't have a man, and she had a son, and she was this independent woman. Okay, she was a nurse. And that's the first black woman that they showed on TV that was independent. She didn't need a man. She had that kind of vibe, kind of attitude, So it was subtle in a way, but at that time, we really didn't need to see that kind of stuff. We needed to see the opposite. You know, we needed to see us coming together, you know, unifying more, stuff like that. But we all know how the system worked, just like you was talking about how we got, you know, deceived into believing opposite, just like the same thing with the civil rights era and the us going to them instead of doing for self, you know, that kind of thing. So if they reversed it all in the late 60s, early 70s, they started, you know, realizing that, look, we got to reverse this trend because we don't want these people empowered. So this is what we were dealing with anyway. Okay, now I want to touch on something else. And I don't know if you're finished with that. If you are, I want you to go into some of what you spoke about during that lecture, the Black Woman is God lecture, because the reason why I think that women who started to think highly in that way caused some discord in their relationships and with Black men. And this is something that was promoted, okay, by a lot of, some people even in the conscious community. I'm not going to say any names. But, elaborate on the pseudoscience, I guess you can say a little bit of that, in reference to how they were saying, for instance, it starts off as a female in the womb and not, they say it starts off as a female. That's what they say. Now, was that true or false?
No. The fetus starts off as neutral. There's no indication of maleness or femaleness. You know, like in the womb, and I can get into that, but in the womb, everything starts off as neutral. It isn't until the fetus is about 4 to 6 weeks that it begins to morph into, you know, either a woman or a man. So it isn't until like 4 to 6 weeks that it begins, you know, that stage where, you know, the gonads, you know, either form into, you know, a female reproductive system or a male reproductive system. So when people say, oh, everything, you know, you got to remember that the absence of maleness does not, you know, it does not mean that it's a female. So the absence of maleness would be, okay, we don't see testicles, we don't see a phallus, so therefore this is a female. That is absolutely false. You know, we got to remember that the absence of maleness does not indicate, you know, female. You know, it doesn't indicate femaleness. So we got to understand that everything in the womb starts off as neutral, and it is not until between 4 to 6 weeks that the gonads begin to either morph into, again, a female reproductive system or a male reproductive system. So we got to remember, in the womb, everything evolves from a bipotential gonad. So your gonads would be, you know, what contains your sperm cells or your eggs. So, you know, it's bipotential initially in the beginning. So it could go either way. So it's neutral, and we have to understand that. A lot of that stuff that they were talking, that rhetoric of, you know, the Black woman is God, a lot of that stuff, I would classify that as pseudoscience. And when you define pseudoscience, again, is the collection of beliefs or practices mistakenly regarded as being based on a scientific method. Well, what is the scientific method? It's a method of procedure that has characterized natural science since the 17th century. So we're talking about the systematic observation, measurement, and experiment and formulation, testing, and modification of a hypothesis. So basically, a lot of those things, oh, the Black woman is God because everything in the womb starts off as a female. No, that's not accurate. The absence of maleness does not imply femaleness at all. It starts off as neutral, you know. And then they had the belief that, you know, then they were trying to say, well, women can have babies without men. And I asked them, well, when? You know, please show me in history where a woman has produced a child without a man. Now we're talking about parthenogenesis, right? But parthenogenesis is mostly common in invertebrates. So wart, fleas, parasite, wasp, and bees. And only certain types of vertebrates, fish, amphibians, and maybe some birds will can reproduce parthenogenetic. But, you know, humans are not capable of parthenogenesis. Now, Dr. York argued in his text, The Black Book, that human beings are capable of parthenogenesis because he said we're both mammal and reptile. He said, so we're partly mammal and partly reptile. But I would like to pose the question, you know, how is that so when reptiles are cold-blooded creatures and mammals are warm-blooded creatures? But how can you be both? You know, so, you know, there's no such thing. And so there's no one has ever proven that that a woman can have a baby without a man. And then you had, I'm not going to mention any names, but then you had brothers that were talking about that, you know, women, they have a Bartholin gland, you know, inside of them. And this Bartholin gland secretes seminal fluid. The Bartholin gland does not secrete seminal fluid. You know, you got to understand where the hell seminal fluid comes from. Seminal fluid is a combination of fluid that comes from your seminal vesicles inside of a man. And you say, well, Dr. Mayat, where are your seminal vesicles? Your seminal vesicle is like right, it's right between like your bladder and your, it's like right between your bladder and, you know, right between your bladder and your prostate. So men have something that's called seminal vesicles that sit right there by the bladder and right there by the prostate. And then men also have something called a bubble urethra gland. And your bubble urethra gland is a gland that sits below the prostate that's connected, which is connected to your urethra, all right? So it's connected to your urethra, and it's right there underneath your prostate gland. And then males have the prostate. So seminal fluid is a combination of fluid that comes from your bubble urethra gland, your prostate, and your seminal vesicles, right? Now,
right.
Women, we have what's called a Bartholin gland. It's glands that sit behind. So, okay, if you open up the vulva, or if you open up a vagina, you have two ducts. You have a duct that sits to the right of your vagina opening, and then you have, you know, a duct that sits to the left of your vagina opening. And behind those ducts, you have what's called Bartholin glands. So Bartholin glands, The primary function of the Bartholin gland is to secrete mucus during the arousal. You know, so when a woman is aroused, you know, it protects the vulva. You know, it protects the vulva. It lubes the vulva, and so that's the whole primary, you know, function of the Bartholin gland. It doesn't secrete seminal fluid. You know, it's homologous to the vulva urethra gland, yes, but it does not secrete seminal fluid. And then people said, oh, well, a woman can shoot sperm. But I ask you, how can a woman shoot sperm? Sperm is manufactured in the testicles, right?
Right.
So if it's manufactured in the testicles, right, I think in your seminal tubules, I believe that it's called your seminal tubules. Don't hold me to that. But I think that's where it's manufactured, right there in the seminal tubules. And in order for, you know, for sperm to be produced, you know, in the testicles, it will require women to possess the SRY gene. So you have to possess, you know, certain genes, and you have to have testicles in order to produce sperm. So you have brothers saying stupid stuff like, you know, women can shoot sperm. You know, if you look at a woman's bone marrow, you know, you can manufacture sperm. I mean, it was just utterly
foolish. It was out of control.
You know, it was out of control. And so then you had women that grabbed on the doctrine, and they were saying, yo, we could have babies. Thank you. They said, we could have babies without men. You know, so you got these women who may have been violated or hurt or angry. So now they have this doctrine that's saying that, you know, we don't need men. You know, we don't need men. We're God. We don't need them, you know. So to me, in my opinion, that whole Black Woman is God movement was really creating, you know, more dissension between Black men and Black women. Absolutely.
Yes.
It was confusing.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Now, I want you to continue, elaborate on the broken Y. I'm sorry. The Y is a broken X. Where did that come from?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, when they said that the Y was a broken X, disgusted, you know, when people said, people were saying, well, you know, if you look at the Y, you know, and you look at the X, the Y is missing a leg, and so therefore it's a broken X. Well, we have to first establish that if you look at an X and Y chromosome underneath the microscope, it doesn't look like
an X or a Y.
You know, it doesn't look like an X or a Y. You know, that's first and foremost. And secondly, we had to understand that the X became known as the X because of Herman Hinting. Herman Hinting named the X chromosome X because he considered it as mysterious. He said it was mysterious and it was exceptional in some sort of way. And then you had Nettie Stevens, who noticed, or she's accredited with discovering the Y chromosome. She was the one that named it the Y. She said simply to continue the alphabetical sequence. That was it. So it had nothing to do with, you know, the Y looks like a Y under the microscope, or it had a broken leg. It was just nomenclature. You know, it was just nomenclature. Herman Hinting said, look, this is mysterious. I'm going to call it an X. And that and Nettie Stevens came by him and said, well, look, you know, I've noticed this other chromosome, and I'm just going to continue the alphabetical sequence and name it a Y. It has nothing to do with appearance. And see, that's why as Black people, we have to familiarize ourselves with science. Because if you understand science or you study science and people come and present this foolery to you, you will be armed with information to refute this foolery.
Right. And see, I felt it. I just didn't have the science to necessarily back up, okay, what I was, you know, debating about. Because I was, when I debated with people for years, brothers and sisters, I said, nah, I don't know about that. Y'all going on that Dr. York stuff. I says, and I understand what the science was with that too, okay. But the bottom line is that a lot of that, indeed, I know was pseudoscience and not, you know, right and exact at all. You know, and I give it to you just for breaking it down, okay, in that presentation. You know, in front of many.
Thank
I think you.
You
did that up in Harlem, right? You did it up in Harlem.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That was up in Harlem. Right. Yeah. You know, no doubt. You know, you laid it out there. Now, last but not least, and I'm going to leave that subject alone, okay? The mitochondria DNA. Okay, you got to do that. Now build on that.
All right, so a lot of people were saying that, you know, if you look at the mitochondrial DNA, and we know that the mitochondrial DNA is the powerhouse of the cell, right? We know that, you know, the function of mitochondria is to convert food, you know, carbohydrates and fatty acids into energy that cells can use. So, you know, and we know that mitochondria is inherited. So within mitochondria, you have mitochondrial DNA, and it's passed down from the mother. So, you know, it's passed down from the mother to daughters and to sons. And we know that only women can pass the mitochondrial down, right? So the men have it, you have it, but when you impregnate a woman with your sperm, because sperm has mitochondria on it. I actually had to correct a sister a few weeks ago. She thought that men did not have mitochondria. So she said, oh, I don't think that men have it, and so I had to show her a diagram of a sperm. And if you look between the tail and the head of the sperm, it has mitochondria on it. But when a man, you know, once that sperm penetrates the egg, now that egg, you know, that seed, that zygote, then takes on the mitochondria of the mother. So then it drops off from the sperm. So the child never inherits the mitochondria of the father. But it takes that of mother. So anyway, a lot of people were saying, okay, you know, when scientists trace the mitochondrial, you know, trace, you know, the mitochondrial DNA back, you know, they found out that, you know, women, that all living humans descended from a woman that existed in Africa 200,000 years ago. But then people were using that to imply that there were no men around. Do you remember that? So they were saying, well, 200,000 years ago, you know, women existed. And where were the men, right? But, you know, again, we got to arm ourselves with information, because remember, scientists also found the A double zero, right? The A double zero lineage. And that lineage goes back, I believe, I think that lineage surpasses that of the mitochondrial DNA. I believe so. I haven't looked at this stuff in a minute, and I'm actually looking through my presentation because I don't want to mislead any of your listeners.
Right.
Yes, hold on. Let me make sure. Okay, let me make sure. So mitochondrial DNA, when they trace back the X, yep, they said that the X was between 140 to 240,000 years ago. A double zero, when they traced the Y chromosome lineage, they said that this goes back 338,000 years ago. But we got to remember that the A double zero Y chromosome lineage is that of archaic males. So these males were archaic. So, you know, what we're speculating is that these women who were considered anatomically modern humans, that they interbred with the archaic males until the males became anatomically modern humans. So what I'm saying is, with the discovery of the A00Y chromosome lineage, that proves that there was still a male present. Like, you can't sit there and tell me that, okay, mitochondrial, you know, when they trace mitochondrial DNA back, you know, it was old, it was 200,000 years ago. So this implies that there was no male presence. But wait a minute. They found the A00Y chromosome lineage that goes back 338,000 years ago. And I'm sure that one day scientists, right, it's before the mitochondrial. And I'm pretty sure that one day scientists will probably find an mtDNA lineage that goes beyond that. Like, I'm talking about the archaic females, you know? So
right.
This thing goes on and on and on, but we can't use the mitochondrial thing to say, okay, no males were around. Because then somebody's going to say, well, what about the A00? Those were archaic males, but
right.
They were around. So
right.
There was still a male presence. There was still a male presence. And even when you understand the different sex determination mechanisms, right? So, you know, sex was determined by the environment. Sex was also determined by genetics. So even within the sex determination mechanism, you still had a male presence. Remember, so before genes determine the male presence, because remember, in mammals, it's genes that determine, you know, if you get an XX, you know, that's a female, you get an XY, that's a male. But remember, you know, in certain species, it was the environment that determined the sex. And so one of the most popular or one of the most common environmental sex determination mechanisms was temperature-dependent sex determination. So if the temperature was at a certain level, and, you know, after the animal laid eggs or what so have you, if the temperature was at a certain level, then it would be a female. If it was at, below a certain level, it was a male. But I say all that to say that there still was a differentiation. There was still was a distinction between the sexes. It's like, you know, people want to paint this picture that there was all, you know, it was just one world, you know, all female world. How can that be if the world and the universe was predicated on duality? How could that ever
right.
be?
Right, right. That absolutely, sis. You're right and exact. And it's about the balance overall. You know what I'm saying? You know, given, you know, the black queen, you know, props, the black king is the props. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's time to, you know, put all that stuff to bed, the division, the negativity, the discord between the two, and for us to, you know, start to pull it all together and make things happen. And with you doing that presentation, I think that you had a lot of sisters who really thought that thinking again, let's put it like that. And mad respect, you know, for you doing that, sis, and bringing that out, because nobody else did. You know, nobody else stepped up to the plate on that one. You know, indeed. But
and
all right.
And there were a lot of, and I want to say something. There were a lot of brothers who wanted to step up, and there were a lot of brothers who wanted to step up and say something, but they didn't want to, you know, you got some brothers out there, and I'm going to speak on Brother Ankh. He respects the sisterhood, and he was, you know, he was against the whole black woman is God rhetoric. And he was having conversations with me about it and, you know, and talking to me about it. He actually was the one that said, look, you know, you should do a presentation on this. He's like, I don't want to be the one, you know, to bring this out because then people would think that I'm bashing the sisterhood. And he didn't want to do that. So he said, I think that, you know, it should be a woman to stand up and to go against that whole doctrine. He said, because, you know, with men, if I say something, they're going to think that I'm beating up on the sisterhood. And, you know, and I don't want the sisters to feel that way. You know, and that's why he did. So he actually, you know, encouraged me to do the presentation on Is the Black Woman God? And so I just want to, you know, say shout out to Brother Ankh on that.
Oh, yeah, shout out to that brother indeed. Yes, you know, so that was the correct thing to do. You know, no doubt about that at all. You know, for a brother to come out like that, you know, it wouldn't have even got the time of day. You know, you know, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, we, you know, coming down on the last, you know, couple of minutes of the show. I don't know if you got any callers. No callers got their hands up. You know, got people listening, but nobody with their hands up. But I'm sure they're just enjoying, you know, your scholarly build, you know, how you are coming forth with the information. So any announcements you want to make or any information you want to give the people in reference to how to contact you or what you got going on?
Oh, yeah. If they want to contact me directly, my email address is dr.maat@gmail.com. So dr.maat@gmail.com. And I can also leave my number, my personal phone number, and I give this out a lot. It's 443-721-8491. If they want to learn more about what I do in my company, I have a website, and that the URL of the website is edanimeproductions.com. So that's E as in Edward, D as in David, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, I as in Ice, M as in Mary, E as in Everyone, Productions with an S.com. And so they can reach me anytime. And I just implore the brothers and sisters who are listening to support the Meltrek Project. Please go to YouTube and type in Meltrek. Trailers for the episodes will pop up. We really need brothers and sisters to support this project. And we're not, when I say support, we're not asking for donations. We're simply saying buy this DVD, buy this gift for your child. You know, we got to get our kids away from Disney and Nickelodeon and the Cartoon Network and all of that foolery. I was just looking at reading an ad a few weeks ago, and I did not know that Disney was creating cartoons promoting same-sex relationships. Disney has a lot of cartoons. Yeah, they have a lot of cartoons called Disney X, and they have cartoons that are airing, you know, showing men kissing men and women kissing women. And I agree 100% with Dr. Patricia Newton in that, you know, child is going to be whatever it's going to be, and let it be that. But don't impose on that child. You get what I'm saying? A lot of people are imposing that lifestyle on children. And, you know, and I'm totally against that. And so we got to get our children away from Disney and SpongeBob. And, you know, these cartoons are sending subliminal messages, I'm telling you. And we got to be careful because when our child is in front of the television, you know, I say this a lot in my lectures, we got to treat our children, I have to overstand that our children are minds that we're grooming and developing. So when you sit your child in front of the television, he or she is being, her mind or his mind is being impregnated with things, and the mind is being imprinted with things. So we have to be very, very careful to what we expose our children to. And I just implore brothers and sisters to get Melotrek. I mean, we're projecting positive images, you know, into the consciousness of black children. You know, we're showing, you know, black women as, queens, showing black men as kings, and we're telling them that
yes.
they can be and do anything that they want to be. And so we're just asking people to support this DVD. Again, they can get it from edanimeproductions.com or simply go to Google and just type in Melotrek and support the project by simply buying a DVD. You know, I have people who are buying the DVDs and giving them out as gifts, you know. Even if you don't have a child, just buy the DVD and give it out, you know, to some black child. And give. I always tell people, give the children the best gift of all, and that's knowledge. And so I just implore your listeners to support the Melotrek Project.
Yes, I'm definitely going to get, you know, some from you in reference to that, you know, probably a few of them because, you know, with that, you know, wholeheartedly, I feel that what you're doing is definitely on point, you know, with the children and stuff like that to counter because if somebody can pay $50 for a video game, okay,
come on,
why can't they
pay
children stuff? It's so ridiculous the amount of money they spend on games now. It's mind-boggling to me. It's like $70 for a game. So, you know, I don't know how much the Melotrek is and everything, but it's just a thing where that we need to support our own, and this is something that, you know, this is the – you created this. You created this.
Absolutely.
Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Created it, and everyone who has their hand in it, I'm talking about funders, are people who look like you and I. So we created this, brother. We created this.
Right. Yes, yes, so indeed. So anyway, you got some last words, anything you want to speak about before we seal off the show, you can fire away or we can just kind of, you know, let the show go at this point. Sister Ma'at, glad to have you on the show. Glad you had the time in your busy schedule to, you know, spend some time with us, you know, on the Ringing Stone Network. And I'm looking forward to in the future, you know, maybe you come back and spend some more time with us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I appreciate you having me on the show. I need to go back and listen to the show that you did you said last week you guys were talking about the feminization of black men and the masculinization of black women. So
yeah,
I am definitely interested
in
checking that out.
Yeah, we had some Wesley Muhammad clips and we were talking about it and stuff like that. Yeah, you know. Assistant Greensboro that I'm familiar with. I don't know if she's listening tonight. I was hoping that she would call in. And she's real close with Wesley Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? And she was supposed to try to talk to him and get him to come on the show and really speak about it. But, you know, that didn't happen. So, you know, I just gathered some information and some clips. And we just did a show anyway, revolved around it. And basically, you know, you basically know most of you. You went over it. You know, basically a lot of what we talked about. But it was a powerful lecture that brother did, you know, and proud of him and proud of you, you know. And, you know, you just keep doing your thing, sis. And, well, for all the listeners, thanks for listening. And
I wanted to say something also. I didn't mean to cut you off. But Dr. Wesley Muhammad came to Baltimore, and that lecture is now available on DVD. So if your listeners or anyone you know who's interested in getting a copy of that DVD, let them phone you and you let them know, and I can get those DVDs to you. I'll have the brother print them up and shoot them out. So, yeah, just let me know so I can get it over to you, okay?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I would definitely want to see that.
And as far as getting him on a show, I'll give him a call and see if we can make this thing happen.
Right, yeah, because I want to just have him live and, you know, we can, you know, mix it up a little bit, because that's a serious issue that he has brought up, you know, no doubt, because he really, you know, sparked me, and nobody, I couldn't even expound on it better, because sometimes, you know, I'll do a show myself, and I'll, you know, expound on a certain issue that has come up, you know, for about an hour. You know, I've done, you know, other shows. I've been on other networks. I've spoke with on shows with Beverly D Show and stuff for different subjects, but something like that, I wasn't really, I didn't really have a lot of knowledge of, like Wesley did, in reference to the drugs and the loud that was going into the system and creating the feminism and all of that. That was all new information for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So anyway, okay, sis. So again, appreciate you, and you stay strong, and we'll be in touch, and hopefully all listeners support the sister and in her endeavors. And we're going to be signing off. Peace and love.
Peace and love.